I think we should probably get started at this point. It's a few minutes after the hour. I think not everyone is here yet, but most people are. So, let me switch the video settings. It's on the wrong setting. Hold on. Okay, 1 second. Okay, that looks better. Good. Okay, so today, what we're going to be looking at is very general non-interacting models in the second quantized language. So far, we've seen a second quantized version of our free electron gas. And then we also saw in the tutorial a Hamiltonian that looks like this. So in this case, what we found is that H acting on this state gives the energy which is a sum of all the individual single particle energies times the same state. So this is a many body eigenstate built by the single particle C Dagger operators. In this case, what we found is that the eigenstates are 0, what we called in the tutorial A1 dagger 0, which was C1 dagger plus C2 dagger over root 2, 0. A2 dagger 0, which was C1 dagger minus C2 dagger over root 2. And C1 dagger, C2 dagger 0, with energies 0, minus T, T, and 0. So the goal for today is to generalize everything we've done here to a Hamiltonian of the following form. So we have a sum over some set of terms with two different indices, which label different orbitals. Every term in the sum has the creation operator for one orbital and the annihilation operator for another one. And then we've got this factor Tij, which is our coefficient. So in some sense, these Tij define what H is, because everything else here is common to this generic form. So our goals are to find all many body eigenstates and energies for this system. And to show relationship to single particle eigenstates. And understand why we say this system is, quote, non-interacting. Okay, so I'm actually going to start with this piece, which is, what does it mean for a system to be non-interacting? So the first thing we can think about is what we talked about with the free electron gas, that in the first quantized language, Hamiltonian looks like a sum on terms where each one only acts on one particle. So one thing we concluded at the beginning when we were talking about the free electron gas was that a result of this structure of the first quantized Hamiltonian is that our many particle eigenstates are these tensor products of single particle eigenstates. And that their energies, the corresponding eigenenergies, are just the sum of all the single particle energies. So in some sense, we can say that this is actually, what I want to do is change perspective so that instead of saying that this is the definition of being non-interacting, what we're going to say is that this is actually the definition of being non-interacting. If a system is non-interacting, I can take, put every electron in an individual state, and then that combined state is a many-body eigenstate, and the total energy of that state is a sum of all the single particle energies. So if that's true, then the system must have been non-interacting. So we're now going to redefine what we mean by non-interacting in the case of second quantized Hamiltonians using this idea. So I'm supposing, first of all, that we have some single particle eigenstates. So AI dagger 0 is a single particle eigenstate. H, which is given by linear combination of the original single particle states CI dagger zero. Then H acting on the product of I, AI dagger zero, is equal to sum on I, EI, product of AI dagger acting on zero. So in other words, filling single particle orbitals, single particle eigenstates, single particle orbitals gives us the many-body eigenstates. Okay, so does this make sense so far? Okay, so I just want to give a quick example. So I'm going to return to what I wrote here. We're going to use this case of this simple H equals minus T, C1 dagger C2 plus C2 dagger C1 as an example of this. So here we have the single particle, so we have A1 dagger and A2 dagger, which are exactly what I just defined on the previous board. Those are the single particle eigenstates of H, or with acting on state zero. So our claim is that A1 dagger, A2 dagger, zero, is an eigenstate of H with energy E1 plus E2. So E1 and E2 are here, minus T and T equals minus T plus T equals zero. And A1 dagger, A2 dagger is equal to 1 half of C1 dagger squared, which is 0, plus C2 dagger, C1 dagger, minus C1 dagger, C2 dagger, plus C2 dagger, 0. Which is equal to minus C1 dagger, C2 dagger. So indeed, that agrees with the two-particle eigenstate that we found before when we were doing this directly. That it's the same state, the minus sign doesn't matter, of course, and the energy is indeed the sum of the single particle energies that go into it. Okay, so now I'm going to prove that this is true, not just in this simple example, but in fact is always true.
Aaron, what did you want to say by showing A1 dagger, A2 dagger is C1 dagger, C2 dagger, or minus of that one? Means what is the point?
So the claim that I want to make is that if I take the single particle, the operators that create single particle eigenstates, in this case A1 dagger and A2 dagger, mm-hmm. and I apply one and then the other, the result must be also an eigenstate of H. That's what I want to be true. That wasn't necessarily obvious because I mean, it's sort of obvious because there's only one state in this two particle space. Mm-hmm. But I just want to demonstrate that this indeed works, okay. That if I take these two A1 to A dagger, in fact, it's equal to C1 dagger, C2 dagger, okay. Not something else.
Okay.
But Aaron, I'm not sure I know what the physical picture is, because I was thinking, especially in this toy model case, that like the C1 and the C2, they correspond to, like actual physical particles. And the, like going to A1 and A2 is just a mathematical trick?
Yes.
So I'm not sure how to understand them not interacting, A1 and A2, because the C's do, I feel.
So when you say interacting, let me try to be more, a bit clearer about that then. So, the picture we have is that my space consists of n orbitals. That are orthonormal and can be filled or not, right? So the state C1 dagger, let's say C1 dagger, C2 dagger, zero, let's say. Remember what this thing really is 1 over root 2 times the state of determinant. Like this, right? Now let's suppose I define a new orbital. Let's call it, I'm going to call it phi plus, which is phi 1 plus phi 2 over root 2, and phi minus, which is phi 1 minus phi 2 over root 2, right? So if I also define A1 dagger equals C1 dagger plus C2 dagger over root 2, and A2 dagger equals C1 dagger minus C2 dagger over root 2, then this can be written as A1 dagger acting on 0, and this is A2 dagger acting on 0. And so when I say like A1 dagger, A2 dagger, 0, what I mean is this later determinant, phi plus, phi minus, which is another kind of valid state. When we talked about, so when you were saying before that you feel that C1 dagger and C2 dagger are interacting somehow, what do you mean by that?
I just mean that I have the feeling that we're saying non-interacting is more a mathematical property than having a physical, like you write down your Hamiltonian based on a physical understanding of your system, I feel. Like a Hopping term has a physical meaning, but the fact that we can write it in the form that you gave doesn't mean that we are physically non-interacting.
That's okay. Yes, that's true. It isn't obvious that the form that I wrote down means you're non-interacting. Let me go back to. This is in some sense the point of the thing the statement I want to prove is that I agree that it's not obvious that the form of H that I wrote down means that the system is non-interacting. My claim is that what we're going to prove is that that is true for any H of that form. And it doesn't matter what the physical origin of that H is. Any H of that form, no matter where it came from, is non-interacting. That's the claim that I want to make.
Where interacting means that we can add energies. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So maybe let me say then, it's worth understanding this point a bit better. So okay, let me try to be clearer about this. So So, okay, so the original version of non-interacting. Is that this is in first quantized notation, as I said. So this is not, do you agree that this is a non-interacting system? Because this acts on one particle at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right, so then the new claim is that the definition of non-interacting is that many body eigenstates are Slater determinants of single particle ones and the energies are summed. Okay, so these are our two definitions that we're looking at. And then, so I think that this direction, we basically have already shown, we've already seen this in this class, basically. That's basically what we showed for the non-interacting, for the free electron gas. Okay, so then the question is, what is the origin of this implication? I think that's your question, right? Why does this property imply this property? Is that what you're asking?
I just wanted to be clear on when you say single particle, that doesn't imply the physical particle, but a quasi-particle. Maybe it's not so important, but just because I felt we had this thing of condensed matter being very physically based, really having the picture of a vacuum state being zero particles, and we're not talking about such a clear mapping to physical particles anymore, but we're talking about quasi-particles. And they...
I don't agree. No, that's not true. We are not talking about quasi-particles. So the difference between A and C has nothing to do with new particles. A and C only has to do with the fact that you're in different orbitals. Let me go back to this point. So let's suppose that I have like phi one, which is a hydrogen 1s orbital, okay? And let's say phi 2 is the 2pz orbital. So if my electron is in phi 1, then it looks like, you know, something like that. If it's in phi 2, it does something like this shape. And if my one electron is in what I called phi plus, which is given by A plus, or I guess what I called A1 dagger acting on zero, then I have some orbital that has some like weird shape that's a combination of those two things. But I still have one physical electron. It's just that the state that electron happens to be in is different.
Okay, that has changed my picture then. Okay.
Okay, good.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's important to think about the C dagger to add an electron, but what's important in this second quantized picture is not exactly what the particles are doing, but which orbitals are filled or not filled. That's the right perspective. Okay, good. So I do still think that it's important to try to understand this implication, but that's not something which I have like a super clear explanation for at the moment. So I think that I don't really want to spend time on this, and we may like look at this more later after I give the proof, where I think it'll be a bit easier to talk about. Okay, so to start our proof, to me, I want to start by saying that this desired property that we want to claim our system is non-interacting is actually somewhat surprising. So what we're saying is that I start, for example, with H acting on A1 dagger 0, which is equal to E1 A1 dagger acting on 0. And then I go to H acting on A1 dagger A2 dagger 0 is equal to E1 plus E2 A1 dagger A2 dagger 0. So to me, this is weird because here we've done a multiplication. And the result is that the eigenenergies got added. So like, I feel like that's a kind of, it's something that of course can happen because we're multiplying matrices and not numbers, but it's still kind of a weird property. So I think it's worth getting an intuition based on some situation that's very familiar to all of us where this also happens. So, and that will give us some guidance into how to do the proof. So what I want to look at is the harmonic oscillator, where this is just in the normal first quantized, et cetera, like the thing that you do in first semester quantum mechanics. So H is equal to H bar omega times A dagger A plus half, where these are the raising and lowering operators. Which satisfy a commutation relation that a dagger is equal to 1. So the energies here are given by h bar omega times n plus half. And one way we can think about this is that the energy for a dagger to the n acting on 0, where 0 in this case is just the ground state of the harmonic oscillator, is equal to h bar omega plus e. Sorry, that's not on. I'm confusing notation. Plus E for A dagger to the N minus 1 acting on 0. Right? Because when I've acted an extra A dagger, all that happened is I added an extra H bar omega in my energy. So every time I act this raising operator, so A dagger adds H bar omega to E. So that's exactly the same kind of property that we're looking at here. So my claim is that this is basically analogous. So if we can understand what happens here, then we'll know how to do the proof. So why does this work? Let's try to just show this directly. So H acting on A dagger to the N 0 is equal to H bar omega A dagger A plus half A dagger to the N 0, which is equal to, sorry, this way, a dagger plus 1/2 a dagger a dagger to the n minus 1, 0. Then if we look at this piece, we can actually pull the a dagger out to the other side, which is equal to a dagger times h bar omega a dagger plus half. And then let me go over here to save some space, just to simplify this term. So AA dagger is equal to AA dagger minus, or sorry, plus A dagger A, which is equal to 1 plus A dagger A. And therefore, I can write this piece as this. So this whole section is going to become h bar omega a dagger plus a dagger h bar omega a dagger a plus half. So I'm not going to write this in a different form, which is a dagger times h bar omega plus h. Like this. So now you can see where this extra piece came from. Of course, in some sense, it came from this commutation relation, but I wanted to sort of take the broader perspective that where it came from is the relationship, just write it here, that h a dagger equals delta E, equals a dagger times delta E plus H. So every time I take the commutator of H and this raising operator, I add something to the energy. That's the picture we have. So, okay, by analogy, what we want to do is we want to show that for h equals sum on ij, tij, ci dagger, cj, and I'm going to assume I have an eigenstate that h a dagger acting on 0 equals E a dagger 0, that h a dagger is equal to a dagger times E plus h. OK, so now we're going to do that. And in fact, this is basically just a bunch of algebra. So I'll show you how it goes. But it isn't, there's nothing tricky at this point. Actually, one more thing I need to say. So I'm going to also write this a dagger as sum on some index we'll call, let's call it L of AL CL dagger. So it's a linear combination of the C operators. Okay, so HA dagger is equal to sum on IJL Tij al ci dagger cj cl dagger. Now our goal is to move the a dagger out to the left, so we want to move the cl dagger to the front, so we'll do our commutation relations to do that. Okay. Okay, so the second term is the easy one now. So second term is going to give us sum on IJL, TIJAL, CL dagger, CI dagger, CJ, which is just equal to, indeed, as we hoped, AL dagger times H. But then we have our first term as well, plus sum on IJL, Tij, AL, delta, JL, CI dagger. Okay, so this delta is going to let us kill, let's say, L. It doesn't either L or J. So we'll keep simplifying this piece. We get sum now on IJ, Tij, AJ, CJ dagger. Okay, so now it seems we might be stuck, but we have not yet used this condition. Okay, so now we also know that HA dagger acting on zero is equal to E times A dagger acting on zero. So of course, this HA dagger is what we've just computed. That's all of this stuff. So that tells me now that AL dagger H0 plus sum on IJ, TIJ, AJ, CJ, CI, that's an I, that's a J, dagger 0 equals E times sum on I, or sum on L, I called it. Whatever, doesn't matter. AL CL dagger zero. Okay, so we have that equation. Because this is from the fact that A dagger is in fact A dagger zero is in fact an eigenstate. Okay, so now the first thing we need to do is say that this piece here is zero, because H always has a C operator on the right that's acting on the state zero. It gives us zero. Now, that leaves this equality. And what you should realize here is this is actually a vector equality. So I will actually relabel this. So I read this as L, but I should write it as I. I think that'll make it more obvious. So the set CI dagger 0 is a basis for a single particle Hilbert space. And therefore, these things are the TIJ AJ products and E times AI are in fact just the coefficients of some vector. So the fact that all the coefficients have to be equal tells us that the sum on J of Tij Aj is equal to E times Ai. And thus, we can finally rewrite this whole thing that we had over here. Well, this should be Ci dagger. Make sure I get that right. Equals sum on I Eai Ci dagger, which indeed is E times A dagger. Also, I don't know why I have an L here. There shouldn't be. There should never have been an L here. Okay. So, we need to get this, which we wanted to show. So now you should. You may have questions, so please ask.
Yeah, Aaron. Just in the equation on the left hand side, was it Ci on both sides? Because I thought on the right hand side it was a Cj. Or is that also I?
This is an I. All of these three are I's. This is an I, this is a J, and this is a J. Is it okay?
Yep.
Okay. So
also to compare the coefficients, we need the basis. Means apart from being a basis, it should also be a orthonormal basis. Yeah. Means it should be orthogonal. Oh, but our basis from the beginning are orthogonal. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. C dagger zeros are all.
Yeah. Yeah. So we basically always assume that those C daggers are orthogonal. That's right.
Yeah.
Though, let's see, is that actually, I don't think we actually need that. I think as long as it's linearly independent, it should be sufficient.
Let's assume if zero ket and one ket are bases, then zero ket and zero plus 1/2 are also bases. But then You cannot equate coefficients directly. You need orthogonality for that. Because the idea why we need orthogonality is the way we do it is we multiply. Means like if you have A sin x plus B cos x is equal to C sin x plus D cos x. So.
But if you have any two linearly independent basis sets, you can't find them in that way. But there is a unique solution for the coefficients that give a particular.
No, it means if you write, assuming just we write A 0 ket plus B 1 ket is equal to C, because 0 and 1 are orthogonal basis, but the other basis could be 0 and 0 plus 1/2 or root 2, whatever. Right, they are also linearly independent. Also,
but if you have the same basis on both sides of the equation, then it's fine, right?
And also, they are orthogonal because of the commutation relations, right?
Yes, yes. So that is true. That is true. The commutation relations would not work if they're not orthogonal. So yes,
yeah,
we do have to. So for that reason, we have to assume they're orthogonal.
Okay.
Okay, so yes, I guess it's a moot point, but I think that for this, for setting vectors equal to each other, I think you actually don't need them to be orthogonal. You just have some linearly independent basis that's the same on both sides. Should be sufficient.
Yeah, I'm not very sure, but I'll check. Yeah, but here it doesn't matter.
So that's definitely right, because you could subtract both sides from each other, and then you get a zero vector. And with a linearly independent basis, the only way to get all zero vector is if every coefficient is zero, right?
Correct.
So that must be true. But as Marcelo said, we need it anyway. Okay, that's fine. Okay. So there's two things we've learned here. So we learned the thing we wanted to prove. We proved that this is true, right? We also got another thing for free that we didn't even we weren't even looking for, but turns out to be very useful. So we proved what we wanted just to show, that HA dagger equals A dagger times E plus H. But also, we showed that if A dagger is equal to sum on this linear combination AL CL dagger, that sum on J, Tij, Ai is equal to E, this should be J, there we go, that's fine. This is true. This is nothing but an eigenvalue equation, which tells us that the matrix T acting on the vector A is equal to E times the vector A, where this A is the coefficients of A dagger in terms of the C daggers, and T is the matrix of the original Tij from the Hamiltonian. Implies that the single particle eigenstates are found by diagonalizing this matrix T. Okay, so now let's summarize what we have so far. For any H in the form Tij, Ci dagger, Cj, we can get the single particle eigenstates and energies from T, which, by the way, is an n by n matrix, where n is the number of orbitals. Then the many particle eigenstates are given by the product of these AI daggers, which create the single particle eigenstates, and the energy is a sum of the individual energies. So I think it's kind of hard to overstate how great this is. Like, this is great. Because H acts in a 2 to the n by 2 to the n space. But we can solve everything with just an n by n matrix. So what this tells us is that if H happens to have this particular form, where every term has just C dagger C, then we can actually solve H sort of in a way that scales linearly in the number of orbital, or, well, not linear, but low polynomial number of orbitals instead of exponentially. So this is basically the conclusion is that any non-interacting H is in some sense easy to understand. I put easy in quotes because actually it can still be quite hard, but it's easy at least in the sense that you can put it on your computer and within a reasonable amount of time, you can get basically every single eigenstate. So it's at least computationally easy. So okay, I just realized that I kind of forgot one piece of the proof. I think it's very easy. So let me just add that very quickly since I want to be complete. So sorry for going a bit out of order here. Okay, well, let me add this in. Okay, so we know we have our H. I actually want to actually just finish the proof that that this property really works, that I want to show. So we can write this as this. So I just want to show that the property we proved before with this pulling A dagger through, you get this sum on E, actually gives us the thing we want. And so indeed it does, because now we can separate this term. We can pull this to separate the two terms. And so we get E1 times the product of all the AI daggers acting on 0 plus. Now the same thing we had before with H. And we pulled one thing through. And now we keep doing this repeatedly. And every time we do it, we get one more energy out based on whatever is the A dagger we pull through. So at the end, what we end up with is E1 plus dot, 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 plus EN. I should not use capital N. I should use like lowercase n, because we're not filling every orbital. Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to add this to make sure we actually have the full proof, since I think this part is kind of trivial because the part we did before was 90% of the work, but it's worth having this just for completeness. Also note that this, if you want to make this dot, dot, dot piece of the proof actually rigorous, you can prove by induction. But since we're in a physics class, we don't need to do that. So to finish up today's class, I have one final note. So we are now going to suppose something even beyond what we've supposed before. We're going to suppose that H is Hermitian. So that is something which I never had to use before until right now. So this implies that these A dagger states are as well orthogonal. Or at least they can be chosen as such. So we'll choose them to be orthogonal. In that case, we can write H is equal to sum on I of EI AI dagger AI or equivalently with the number operator. So I don't have time right now to actually show this to you because we're out of time for today. But this can be shown by direct computation. That H equals sum on I j, T I j, C I dagger C j, in fact, is equal to the sum of EI, AI dagger AI. So I think that I may actually have you do this during the tutorial tomorrow, but I haven't decided. So if I don't, I encourage you to do it on your own, but this may be in the tutorial tomorrow. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say today. I can stick around for a few minutes to answer questions, but otherwise tomorrow we're going to be, this is basically the end of like our introduction to second quantization as a general thing and as a general tool. And tomorrow we're gonna go back to doing physics and we're gonna introduce band theory and type binding models and start talking about how we can use second quantization to understand electrons on a lattice.
Just a comment, the hermeticity would also set our T matrix to be symmetric. Yeah. We wanted the coefficients to be yes. Real and then it becomes symmetric.
So T I J C I dagger C J dagger is indeed T I J star C J dagger C I. I'm going to put in this sum. And then we can relabel this. Since I and J are just they're just labels, we can swap them. And then you get sum on ij, tji star, ci dagger cj. And the conclusion is that tij equals tji star, which indeed means that the matrix T is Hermitian.
I think I'd like to ask about maybe more or less the same thing that Anna asked before, but I think I kind of lost a little bit of the answer.
Okay.
Which is the interpretation that we're having here of non-interacting, because if you think about this model as the C operators as really creating electrons in a lattice, particles in a lattice, for instance, then this A operators that diagonalize them, they not necessarily correspond to like physical particles, I guess, because they might be localized, for instance.
So this is something we're going to actually see tomorrow, but the typical example that we'll run into is that the A dagger, the states created by A daggers are actually Fourier states.
Yes.
We'll find them given by Fourier transforms from the C daggers. That's very typical. So in that particular case, it's kind of like saying that the C daggers put your particles into orbitals that are like real space orbitals, and the A daggers will put them into momentum space orbitals. There's no sense in which momentum space is more or less interacting than real space. So I think that may be the right perspective to think about it, because that's something we are used to thinking about momentum space being equivalent to real space, right? I'll continue that discussion in the next class or in the tutorial. So we'll talk more about what it means to be non-interacting.